Taking it to the max. How many of you recognize that song? Let me see your hands. Raise them up high. Shame on you. That's amazing. Or you're in church. If you're a guest, it's okay. Don't worry. That actually was not Van Halen on that video. That was our own guys. Our own musicians played that. They're pretty good, aren't they? They're really, really good. That's amazing. We're glad that you're here. We are going to kind of kick it back a little bit to the 80s. And there's a reason for that, and I'll tell you the reason for that in just a little bit. But we're so glad that you joined us here as we launch in this brand new series called Jump, because we're going to be talking about faith, and we're going to talk about how we need to jump at every opportunity possible to trust God, which is what faith is all about. And we'll talk about that as we go through here today. So we're so glad that you're here. I want to say hello to our Springboro campus. Very excited. Exciting news, Springboro campus, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you here at Centerville or Classics or Northmont do not know next week, don't miss it. I'm going to give you some announcements, a message about Springboro next week, and we're very, very excited about that. So make sure that you're here for that next week. And so Springboro, I want to say hello to you. Northmont, so great to be with you as well. Many that are joining us online, Classics, and all of you that are here in Centerville, so glad that you came to church today. Thank you for kind of getting through the weather here and joining us. By applause, would you just welcome each other, because we are one church in many different locations. Thank you for being here. So let me start off with a question. And the question is this: what if you had the kind of amazing faith that no matter what happens, you will trust Jesus? What if today, this series, over the next 6 weeks, you and I were to make a decision where we're going to take one step further in our faith journey, where our faith can become amazing so that no matter what happens or no matter what is happening in your life, you will trust Jesus? What if you were to say, you know what, I've got anxiety in my life, and I don't know what's going to happen here in this situation or circumstance. What if you were to take a step of faith and you experience no anxiety, or you were able to push that aside because you say, you know, listen, there's no reason for me to be anxious about this, because at the end of the day, I just need to trust Jesus. What if you are experiencing fear in your life? And I don't know if it's fear because of what's happening now, or fear of the future, or fear because you're waiting on the report from the doctor, or fear because of a son or a daughter. I don't know what that is for you, but what if it was that you could push that fear aside because you're willing to take one more step and have amazing faith that you will trust Jesus? What if you lacked no confidence in any environment or any situation in your life because you were willing just to simply trust Jesus? Here's what I would say: faith matters. Would you agree, church? It matters. Although that's not good enough, though, because some of you may be watching, or some of you may be here at Centerville or any one of our other campuses, and you're like, well, everybody has faith. And that's true. Everybody has faith. The question is, what are you placing your faith in? Because it takes faith to believe a lot of things that you see around the world. I mean, it's amazing some of the things that you see, and people place their faith in that. And so it's not good enough for us to say faith matters, although when we define it, I think you'll agree with me that here at Fairhaven Church, we want to say that faith matters as we define it, because as we define what it means, then it'll be much more sensical to us to understand that faith does matter. You realize it's one of the things that God wants for us, right? Like when we read the scripture and we look through the Bible, we see that God wants us to experience faith, that faith is really, really important in our lives. And so we're going to be talking about that over the next couple of weeks. In fact, 5 weeks, including this one, 6, we're going to be talking about faith and what that does for us when we are willing to take that step and trusting Jesus in every single area of our life. Do you know that that's exactly what God wants? See, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this: without faith, it is, not all of our campuses right here in Centerville, I want you to say this out loud, because if you get this, you're going to understand exactly where we're going here in this series. This is really, really impossible, important. So say it with me: without faith, it is what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. So we better understand what faith is, because without it, you can't please God. So if you're here today and this is your very first day, or you've been here 10 years or 3 years and you're trying to figure out what faith is all about, we better get on the right side of understanding what faith is, because without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must do two things. And this is really important. Must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you're a note taker and you want to jot this down, let me tell you the definition of faith, because we see that right here in Hebrews chapter 11. First of all, the writer tells us that without it, it is impossible to please God. And so I don't know about you, but I want to know how I can understand faith in my life. A pretty big word, a common word, but let's make sure that we understand what it is, because that's the way that we can please God. And there's two pieces to it. We find it right here. So if you want to write it down, here's what faith is. First, it's believing. Faith is believing. It's believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God loved us so much that he sent his Son. That's why we experience communion on this first Sunday as we're starting this series, because we want to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is the one that we place our faith in. He's the one that we believe in. He's the one that can bring us back into a right relationship with God. He's the one that can solve this brokenness that we have, not only with God, but with ourselves. So faith is believing, but it's something else. And this, church, this is the gap in which the next generation is walking away from the church. It's right here where our next generation and our students are at most risk for us as a church. That's why we have, you know, a huge middle school thing with 100 middle schoolers that come, and we do a big, you know, weekend with them. Because there's two parts to faith. And I would even suggest that in your faith journey, that believing more is not what you need. My guess is that some of you believe enough, even though we come every week to learn. I learn all week in order to be able to say, look what I found, look what I found. It's in the script. It's amazing. Here's what I found. So we're learning together. But I would argue that we probably know all we need to know, at least for today. We have to take the next step. Here's the next step if you're jotting this down. Faith is believing and trusting. And it's right here in the middle where we're losing the next generation. Parents, our kids are watching us so that they see not only faith that we know about things, but faith that they see in our lives, in our actions, and in our attitudes. See, faith is both believing or knowing and trusting or acting, taking a step, trusting God that no matter what happens, what if you were to have such amazing faith that no matter what is happening or what happens in your life, you're willing to trust Jesus. That right there is the game changer. That right there is the difference between the kids in your life, grandkids in your life, your single friends, high schoolers. That's the difference between you being able to be who you are and your friends around you understanding what faith really is. It is believing and it is trusting. So I want to look at a story with you that I'm really stoked about. Did you catch that? That's 80s right there, baby. Because we're looking back. I mean, we're going back, right? I'm really stoked about this story. And so if you got a Bible with you, we're going to turn to the New Testament. I want you to look at a story in the New Testament. It's actually found in Matthew chapter 8. So take your Bibles, your devices, and all of our campuses, and why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 8. I want to read a story for you about Jesus and about how he ran into a guy. And as he ran into him, there's some amazing things that took place. In fact, this is the only story that I can find in all of the Bible where Jesus is amazed at somebody else. A lot of times when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you'll find is that there are people that are amazed at Jesus, but this is the only story that I find in the New Testament where Jesus is amazed at somebody else. And so because he's amazed at this, I think we probably ought to try to understand what he did and how he did it in order that you and I might live out our faith, because right here in Matthew chapter 8, it's an incredible story. And as we talk about faith, and as you look through the Bible, and as you see in the New Testament, Old Testament, you'll see that this is exactly what God wants from us. And so we're going to try to get on the right side of this over these next 6 weeks. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 8, let me read it for you, make some comments along the way. And then if you want, I'm going to make three comments about what faith says as a result of this story right here. Chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. They were beginning to see that Jesus is different. Something about him is different. Of course, the disciples began to see that he's the Son of God, even though it took a little time. But people began to follow him. So there's a large crowd following him. Verse 2, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Well, you notice there's not a statement, a question mark there. There's a statement. Pretty interesting, right? He makes a statement. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I love verse 3. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I want more details. And they're not here, but I want more details. Like, how long has this guy had leprosy? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Here's what I know about leprosy. You don't touch them. Right? You don't touch them. Can you imagine going 3, 5, 10 years without any physical touch? I'm not talking about a sexual touch. I'm talking about a hand on the shoulder. I'm talking about a good handshake. I'm talking about a fist bump. I'm talking about whatever it is. This man went through his whole life, and he was what we would call, what psychologists say, is skin hungry. And Jesus reaches out and touches him. You may be here in any one of our campuses, and I got great news for you here today, because I hope you came to find hope, and so we're gonna try to give you hope today, and here's some hope that I can give you, that if you've come, here's what I'm confident about, that Jesus wants to reach out his hand and touch you. Wow. That's worth coming to church for, right there. And so here in this story, we see that Jesus, verse 3, reaches out his hand and he touches the man. I am willing, Jesus said, be clean. And immediately he was cleaned of his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, which that's a hard one, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And then there's a white space in my Bible, and probably yours as well, or your device, where it goes from verse 4 to verse 5. And I don't know if it's, you know, a week, a day, an hour, but there's a little bit of period of time here. The crowd is following Jesus. He heals this leper. And I have a feeling that the guy in the next part of the story probably saw this, but I don't know that for sure because it doesn't tell us here. But let's read on. So here's what happens. When Jesus entered Capernaum, which is a little city in the Sea of Galilee, and if you've traveled with us to Israel, you know where Capernaum is. We've been to Capernaum. It's a little tiny town. Peter's mother-in-law lived there. Lots of things happen in Capernaum. If you do a study in the New Testament, you'll find lots of really important things with Jesus happen in the city of Capernaum. And here's another one. And so when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and asked for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Now, centurion was a man who had 100 men assigned to him. And if you're in the military, you know this better than all of us. There's a ranking and order, and the order is awesome. In fact, we serve a God who is a God of order. And so, in the military, there's order and there's ranking. Well, here's a guy who's a centurion who has 100 men attached to him. He's in charge of 100 men. So he's got quite a bit of influence in a little town like Capernaum. But most scholars will tell you that he's probably not Roman, although some will tell you he's Roman. And here's the reason why I don't think he's Roman, because if you go to Israel, you'll realize that Capernaum is way out there. It's by the Sea of Galilee, and it's not worth sending your best soldiers out there. So they probably hired a Jew who reported to a magistrate who then was in charge of 100 men to keep peace and order in the area of Capernaum and probably around the Sea of Galilee. Look at a map if you want, and you can see it's pretty desolate. So let me tell you why that's important, because this man, the centurion, probably was not liked by his fellow Jews and probably was not liked by the Romans because he wasn't really Roman, so why are you in charge? And the Jews didn't like him because he was in charge, and it's kind of like, well, wait a minute, aren't you one of us? Like, right? And so here's this centurion, and he goes to the Lord, Jesus, and says, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Then Jesus asks a question, verse 7, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. And it's not in your Bibles here, but I can only hear the other Jews saying, no, you don't, right? I mean, you're not part of our team, right? No, you don't. And so he admits right up front, I'm not worthy of you coming to my house. And so he says, Lord, I don't deserve you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. This centurion had so much faith in what Jesus could do and was willing to trust Jesus so much that he said, Jesus, you can do this wirelessly. You don't even have to be there. That's amazing faith. So he says, no, you don't have to come. You don't have to come. Just say the word. Verse 9, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell him to go this to go, and he goes, and that one come, and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And so the centurion is starting to connect with Jesus and said, I get the whole authority structure, even though he had no idea, right? But I get it, you know, I'm a man of authority, you're a man of authority, and, you know, if I tell my guy he has to go over here, he goes over there, and if I tell him to come here, he'll come here. And so, Jesus, you have that power, you have that authority, and all you have to do, just say the word, and he's healed. Love this story. Verse 10, here it comes. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Will you underline that in your Bibles? He was amazed. Because this is the only place that I know of in the New Testament where I find that Jesus being amazed at somebody. Jesus was like, you gotta be kidding me. In the 80s, Jesus says, that's totally rad right there. Jesus was amazed at this man's faith. I don't even have to bring him to you. You can just say the word, and I'm going to trust you, Jesus, to heal. And Jesus was so amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith in their life. What a great story about two men that were healed. And about faith and how faith pleases God, because it's impossible to please him without it in our lives. How many of you agree with me that after reading the story in Matthew chapter 8 and after understanding that faith is believing and it is trusting, when you put those two together, that how many of you would agree with me that faith matters? It matters. So what we're going to do over the next 5 weeks is we're going to try to figure out how to take a step of faith. Rather, how we're going to jump at the opportunity to trust God in our lives. We're going to think about that over the next 5 weeks. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes what are the 5 weeks that are coming up. We're going to talk about, I'm going to tell you exactly what we're going to be talking about. That way you can get excited about it, or maybe you can say, well, I'd rather that week than this week, or whatever it might be. But we hope you'll come to all five. But faith matters so much that I want to point out a couple things in this story that are important for us in understanding. Faith says a couple things, three things to be exact, in this story that we read in Matthew chapter 8. So let me tell you what faith says. Faith says that God is good, and we can trust him. Church, how many of you agree with me that God is good? But not only that, how many agree with me that God does nothing evil? Anything evil that's taking place in our world today is not God. Yes, church, agree with me? Because God is good. That doesn't mean that all things happen good in our lives. It means that God is good. And if we have a good God, then we can put our trust in him. What I have discovered in my life, and I think you have as well, that there are two things that jeopardize our willingness to jump at the opportunity to trust God. There are two things that jeopardize that. Let me give them to you so that you can think this through a little bit. Two things that jeopardize your willingness and my willingness to jump at the opportunity to trust Jesus in our lives. Here's the first thing: when really, really, really bad things happen in life. Because when really, really, really bad things happen in your life, all of a sudden, you begin to wonder and ask questions like, why God, why God, why God? And you wonder and you wonder and you wonder. And you get to the place, watch this, where you indict God. When really, really bad things happen, we indict God. Like all of a sudden, we entertain the thought that God is not good because things that are happening in our life are not good. And so one of the things that jeopardizes our ability to jump at the opportunity is when really, really bad things happen in our life and we begin to indict God. There's a second thing, and that's when really, really, really good things happen in our life, because when really good things happen in our life, all of a sudden we ignore God. So we either indict God or we ignore God, and we begin to just kind of get blown spiritually off track because we don't kind of need God. I mean, things are going well. My job's going well. I'm getting raises. I've got all the money I need. God is a good idea, but you know, I'm not sure that it's really center in my life, and so we begin to ignore God. And so there's two things that will tilt us. There's another 80s word. that will tilt us in terms of jumping at the opportunity to trust God when we indict God or when we ignore God. Either because bad things are happening or because really good things are happening in our life. You probably heard this, but I love what Proverbs says. Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 3, says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Meaning, trust him. Trust him. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. That when you place your trust in Jesus, that is amazing faith. And when you take steps of amazing faith and you jump at the opportunity to do that, your faith will grow. Your faith will deepen. Your believing will grow because of your trusting. And so your trusting and your believing go hand in hand. That's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Let me put it this way. Trust is when you take the next right step in your life, in an area where you don't understand, you're not sure, but you know what? I'm gonna trust Jesus. That's what trust is, taking that next right step, which is something we say a lot here at Fairhaven. So if you're a guest, get ready to hear that a lot. We talk a lot about taking the next right step in our lives, because I think that's all God wants us to do, is just to take the next right step in our lives. And in our spiritual lives, that's what trust really is. That's the first thing that faith says. Here's the second thing that faith says that we learn, I think, right in this story here. That faith says trust is bigger than the outcome. See, all of us, usually in a relationship with God, it's very easy to get caught up with, I have something I need, I connect with God because I'm looking for an outcome. Now, in this story, there are great outcomes. Two men experience healing, one man in his leprosy and the other for his servant or his helper or his assistant is really the right word there, assistant. And so two men experience healing in this. But what happens if you pray for healing and you don't experience healing right away? What happens if you're praying for a son or a daughter and it doesn't happen right away? What happens if in your job you got passed over and you've been praying and praying and the outcome wasn't as good as you wanted it to? Church, isn't our trust in God bigger than the outcome? You see, if we ask God through prayer for things, is God obligated, because we're in relationship with him, is he obligated to give us what we ask for? No. But he's prone to. He's prone to. So keep praying. But let's make sure that we understand that faith, believing and trusting, says that trust is bigger than the outcome. Let me describe what bigger looks like. Because I think this is a hard statement, and you might need to talk this through in your small groups or maybe around your dinner table with your kids or your single friends. Students, this is really important for you to get. The trust is bigger than, what does bigger really mean here? Let me describe bigger for you in a whole variety of ways. And if you want to know where I got this, you can download the notes from the internet, and I'll show you the verses where this is all found, right in the Bible. But this is what bigger looks like. See, the outcome doesn't matter if we're trusting God, because God is forever good, right? He's forever good. And he can work good even in tough situations where the outcome isn't like we want it. And yet he is forever good. We would also say that bigger means that God is with us. We are never alone. You are not alone. See, we read, I will never leave you, help me out here, church, with the last part, nor forsake you. You know it. And so right here, God is bigger because he is always with us. He'll never leave us alone. And so if you trust him, you're gonna find a sense of value and identity, and you're not alone. You are not alone. Some of you need to hear that today. You're not alone. Thirdly, God gives us strength to endure. Meaning that's what trusting is bigger. It means that we're going to get strength that we don't have in our lives, strength to endure the situations and circumstances that some of you are dealing with right now in your life. Fourth, he gives us his presence in the middle of problems. That's what it means to trust that's bigger than the outcome, because he can give you peace in the middle of something that's going on, and it doesn't even make sense in your life. I mean, that's what the Bible says, that we can have peace that passes all understanding, meaning it doesn't even make sense of how you have peace in your life. Prayer matters. And so because of prayer, we just need to make sure that we understand that prayer is centered around all these things here, because God is forever good and he's with us and he wants to give us strength. It's bigger because God works all things for the good. God can take all that which is difficult in your life and he can make something good out of it. That's the amazing part. How he'll take ashes and make something beautiful. That's what God does. That's why it's bigger than the outcome. And God rewards those who fully follow him. Here at Fairhaven Church, if you're here and you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, here's what I would say to you. You've come to a safe place. Help me out here, church. You've come to a safe place. We want you to follow Jesus before you believe. We want you to follow Jesus until you believe. And then when you come to that place, we want you to follow Jesus as you believe in him, because that's what faith is, believing and trusting. Am I right, church? Is that the kind of church you want to be? We want to be a place where you can follow even as you are figuring out what it means to believe. And then we hope that you see in our lives, those of us that are already believing, that we're trusting him every single day. See, faith is trusting God to give, not just to give us what we want. Trusting God is just to give us what we want isn't trust at all. That's just the transaction. So if all you're doing is trusting God to give you what you want, that isn't trust. That's just simply a transaction. And that's not what we're talking about here. That's not what we saw in the story here. The man's faith was so amazing that he said, you don't even have to come to my house, just say the word. And he was trusting Jesus in the process. And so we're trusting, we're not looking for a transaction. Here's the third thing that faith says. Faith says, this isn't just about you, but the you next to you. Do you realize that your faith, believing and trusting, is not just about you. It's about the you next to you. It's about your spouse, if you're married. It's about your single friends that you hang out with. It's about your kids, if you have some. It's about your grandkids, if you have a few. It's about the you next to the you. See, we want to live out in this city and in this community and around the world. We want to live out the fact that our faith is so amazing that we're willing to jump at the opportunity to trust Jesus. And in trusting Jesus, it's not just about me. It's about the people next to me. It's not about you. It's about the you next to you. That is so important. That's why here at Fairhaven, we talk all the time about inviting you. And if you're here because you got an invitation, thank you for coming, because we want all of us to try to figure this out on our own and to think through what it really means and what God is and who he is and what we need to do. See, God allows things that blow up or grow up our faith. God allows things in our lives that will challenge your faith and will grow your faith. And so that's what we're going to be talking about the next 5 weeks. So if you want, let me give you the outline of the next 5 weeks, because I think as I think through all the years of sitting in my office and having conversations with people, and as I look through the Bible and look at all the things that happen in the Bible, and you'd probably agree with me that if you think about all the people that you know in your life, people who have walked in faith, believing and trusting, that God has used probably 5 things that have either blown up or grown up their faith. And here are the 5 things. Let me give them to you, because this is what we're going to talk about over the next 5 weeks. Next week, don't miss it, we're going to talk about how practical truth will either blow up or grow up your faith. You see, chances are in your faith journey, somebody said to you, hey, you want to come with me to a Bible study? Hey, you want to come with me to church? Hey, that middle school weekend retreat's happening, you want to come with me to the middle school thing? Chances are that your faith journey included somebody sharing some truth with you that was very practical, and because of that, it either blew up or it grew up your faith, and you were willing to take one step towards trusting who Jesus is. So we're going to talk about that next week. Don't miss that. The next week, we're going to talk about God-given relationships. That God gives us relationships. Sometimes those relationships are for 5 minutes. Sometimes those relationships are for a lifetime. I'll tell you two stories in 2 weeks about things that have happened to me in the last 2 weeks that there's no way I can put any framework to it except for the fact that I happen to be there at the right time talking to this individual because I think God orchestrated the whole thing from the beginning of time. That's a mind blower. He uses God-given relationships to blow up or to grow up your faith. We'll talk about that. I know we just finished a series on relationships, but this is going to be totally different, so don't miss that. Week 3, we're going to talk about how intentionally helping others, when you go beyond yourself, that's going to either challenge your faith, blow it up, or it's going to grow up your faith. So we're going to talk about intentionally helping others, that's so important to your faith journey. That's how you can take a step towards trusting Jesus in a further way. As a matter of fact, how many of you know that when you intentionally help others, it takes the spotlight off of your own problem? How many of you know that? It is so interesting how when you serve others, all of a sudden your problems just get a little bit smaller. Maybe not a whole lot, but just a little bit smaller. In our life. It's absolutely amazing how that happens. Well, then after this week, then the fourth week, we're going to talk about how we can leverage disciplines in our lives. So let me try it here. I want you to think about a person, a name and a face, who you would say, boy, when I watched their lives, they got that faith thing right. Like I saw them connecting with God. I saw their actions, I saw their attitudes, and you sort of said, I want to be like them. I want you to get a name or a face in your mind in all of our campuses. Springboro, you got somebody? Northmont? Somebody who's leveraged things in their life, leveraged disciplines in their life, reading their Bible, prayer life. Classics, you have somebody? How about those of you that are online? You can just write in the right corner there and say, yep, me. Here at Centerville, how many of you, by raised hand, how many of you say, yep, I've got that person's mind, their name, and their face in my mind? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high. Somebody that you know that you say, boy, I'd really like to, look at all the hands. Amazing. You see, God leverages disciplines in our lives to either blow up or grow up our faith. We'll talk about that. Then the last week, 6 weeks from now, we're going to talk about unexpected circumstances. It's funny how life brings unexpected circumstances in our life. And it's just amazing how that happens. And you don't see it coming, I don't see it coming, and they happen to us. And how do we use unexpected circumstances to have this amazing faith to jump at the opportunity of trusting Jesus in unexpected circumstances? I don't even need to have you to raise your hand on that one. I already know the answer. That's all of us. All of us. So I want to end with a question today. And what I want to do with this question is I want you to read it silently to yourself, and then I'm going to read it back to you. But I think it'll be better if we start this way. In all of our campuses right here at Centerville, I want you to read this silently to yourself, and then I'm going to read it, and we're going to end, and I'm going to pray for you. All right? Here's the question. As we launch into this series, as we throw back to the 80s and think about a timeless faith, that's why we're throwing back, by the way, because it's timeless. Faith is timeless. You know, there are two chapters in the Bible. One is devoted to love, and one is devoted to faith. Two chapters, one love, one faith. Hebrews chapter 11, it's all about faith. And so I want you to answer this question. Read it silently. Where do you need to jump at the opportunity of trusting Jesus today? In what area of your life are you willing to just take that step and say, I'm going to go beyond just what I know, and I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to put it into action. People are going to see it in my attitudes. People are going to see it in my living it out. Faith. Because faith matters. Would you bow with me? God, we just pray that you would be with each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for this chance to be together in worship. Thank you that as we are exhaling to you in song, all the things that we believe about you and think about you and process about you, thank you for the opportunity to have communion, in all of our campuses, even online. For those that joined us online, thank you, Father, for this chance to be around a communion cup. And then for us to look at this incredible story in Matthew chapter 8. You were amazed. Father, I pray that you'd be amazed at me. I pray that you'd be amazed at all of these friends, that we become a church where you are amazed at the fact that we're willing to jump at the opportunity to trust you for whatever is next in our lives. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen.